Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And it's Monday morning. It's just gone 9 minutes past 10. You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show, and I am your host, Nicholas Ingle. On the controls is our fantastic Craig Guthrie, and Sina Pabetsi is our wonderful producer who puts all of the shows together. So from the 3rd to the 9th of February, it's Tinnitus Awareness Week. That's the ringing in the ears. And we're going to be chatting to Charlene Brett, healthcare practitioner specializing in speech therapy and audiology. We're going to be chatting about what is the ringing that we hear in our ears, what is that noise, how can we deal with it, how do we live with it, what is that like. And also later in the show, we're going to be chatting with Professor Barry Shube, former executive director of the NICD and professor emerita at Wits University Virology. We're going to be talking HMPV, or human metapneumovirus. And there's been an outbreak, or appears to have been an outbreak in China. And as we know, we've just come through COVID. We're dealing with all of these crazy things that are going on. And, there's always that fear of a new pandemic. What if we have to go through everything that we've went through with COVID all over again? So we'll be chatting to the professor about that. We'll be back with you shortly after this music. We're just waiting for our guests to join us. So let us have your questions in studio as well, and we will forward them to our fantastic guests. We're just going to let Craig take us out with a song, and we'll be back with you straight after this.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You are listening to 101.9 High FM. It's Monday, and it's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. And I'm joined by Charlene Brett, health practitioner specializing in speech therapy. So no pressure here for my enunciations at all. And audiology. Charlene, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Nicholas. Welcome to the listeners.
Yeah, and thank you. Absolutely. And that's really what you do. So we're looking at Tinnitus Awareness Week from the 3rd to the 9th of February. Let's start off with, what is tinnitus?
Okay, first of all, it's got two pronunciations, tinnitus or tinnitus. I always learned it as tinnitus. So if I lapse into that pronunciation, please forgive me. So there are two types of tinnitus. There's objective tinnitus and there's subjective tinnitus. So subjective tinnitus is when a person hears sounds in their own head that another person can't hear. And there are different types of tinnitus. And there's also objective tinnitus, which usually signal a much more serious condition. And that is when there's tinnitus in the person's head, but someone close to the person's ear would also be able to hear it.
Wow. Okay. What are the causes of, I'm going to try with the tinnitus as well. What are the causes of tinnitus?
Okay, so there are many causes of tinnitus. Some, it varies from the most benign, like, for example, earwax impinging on the eardrum, and it can become very serious. There are causes which are very serious. Okay.
Right.
So the causes are hearing loss caused by loud noise exposure, commonly caused by concerts, operating loud machinery. I went to a concert the other night. It was magnificently produced, but I couldn't stay there for more than 10 minutes because it was too loud. And loud noise, there are very many effects of noise, but the most documented, undisputed problem is hearing loss. So
Right.
with loud noise, very often one gets what's called a temporary threshold shift, which means that there's a temporary reduction in hearing. And if that can recover from within an hour or two or within a few days, but if temporary threshold shift happens too often, it can lead to permanent hearing loss.
Right. Is
Okay.
that shift, if I may jump in here, is that
Yeah.
sort of our inhibitory neurons jumping in to help reduce the noise, or is it actually physiological damage to
Physiological
the
damage,
inhibitory
the
mechanism?
little hairs inside the cochlea start to bend and they can recover and become erect again. But if the noise is too much, then they don't recover. And that's
Right.
when noise causes hearing loss.
Okay.
So there are lots of other kinds of causes. Middle ear conditions, as I mentioned, one of the benign ones is earwax, but if there's a middle ear infection, that can also cause tinnitus, and the different conditions cause different kinds of tinnitus. Tinnitus that is reported is high frequency tinnitus, and that's mostly associated with noise induced hearing loss. You see, I'm very, very aware of noise induced hearing loss and tinnitus because that's something that is preventable, that is
Right,
really preventable.
absolutely.
There's also the high frequency tinnitus is very often related with age-related hearing loss. Some people with hearing loss experience tinnitus, and the tinnitus with high frequency tinnitus is more like a whistle, but it can have various sounds, tinnitus. Then there are less common kinds of tinnitus, low frequency tinnitus. And that's very often associated with a disease called Meniere's disease, and also Eustachian tube dysfunction. And then there's mid-range frequencies damage, where people hear mid-range, and that can occur with some kinds of sensory neural loss or temporary tinnitus due to infection. So there are many, many causes if we get back to that. Their medical conditions, their metabolic conditions like diabetes, hypothyroidism. If the tinnitus is unilateral, meaning it occurs in one ear, that is a very big red flag because it could be associated with tumor, acoustic tumors. Also, head
Right.
injury, head or neck injuries, and also stress and anxiety has been associated with increasing tinnitus.
I'd like to go on to what it's like to live with tinnitus, and we're going to touch on that as soon as we're back from these ad breaks. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offer convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care, find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Dis-Chem Pharmacies, better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I'm joined by Charlene Brett, healthcare practitioner specializing in speech therapy and audiology. February 3rd to 9th is Tinnitus Awareness Week, and we're chatting tinnitus. I mean, it's been incredible going into all of the causes and potential causes of tinnitus. But what I'd like to touch on, what is it like? What is the everyday impact? I know people refer to it as living with the ring.
The ring means the noise. And that noise doesn't only have to be a ring, it can be a whooshing noise, it can be like leaves rustling. So living with tinnitus can be mild and it can be extreme. When it is mild, people kind of ignore it and manage to just push it to the background. But when it is extreme, it is there, it's present all the time. So what do we do about it? To date, there is no known cure for tinnitus. The answer to tinnitus is management. So, first of all, one needs to know what the cause of the tinnitus is. If there's a medical condition, that needs to be treated first of all. If there is an environmental condition, that can be managed, hopefully. So, if a person has to be in a noisy environment, they can wear noise protection, or some people become hypersensitive to noise. So those people would need to become desensitized to noise. The important thing is that a person with tinnitus might feel that they just can't bear it anymore, don't want to face anybody, and that's when a psychologist could need to be involved. General health starts HEAR, not necessarily only HERE, which means that generally a person needs to be active, have a healthy diet. There are nutritional supplements that have been known to treat tinnitus. Because tinnitus, one of the theories of tinnitus is that it is caused by the release of free radicals and the damage that's done to the cells. So there is a supplement that's got all the vitamins plus other additives like chromium, coenzyme Q10, folic acid, magnesium, etc. And Dis-Chem might be a more appropriate referral than I am on the chemical makeup of such supplements. That's very important. Some people will be able to manage their tinnitus if they have a sound therapy in the environment, listening to pleasant sounds. Sometimes tinnitus can disturb sleep, and then sleep management needs to become important. Exercise is a general thing. I think I've mentioned that before. The other very simple way of managing a person's tinnitus is by wearing a sound level generator. So that can come in the form of a generator, a masker, or even a simple hearing aid. Even if a person does not have hearing loss, although 90% of tinnitus patients do have hearing loss, but there are the 10% that don't have, they can wear a hearing aid, a simple hearing aid set to absolutely normal hearing. But there are tinnitus programs. You can choose a program that will mask out your tinnitus, and that's one of those are some of the ways of managing tinnitus and living with tinnitus. Have I answered your question?
Absolutely. I think we have a question from a listener, which we'll go to now. But what I wanted to ask is, you and I wear glasses. We know that we have to go to the optometrist to get our eyes checked, to get our script renewed and changed as we go, because it's probably a lot easier to see, things are not looking, excuse the pun, as good as they should. How often should we be getting our ears checked?
Every year. And who should have their ears tested? Children, because they need to learn to speak. If they can't hear, they have great difficulty learning to speak. If there are conditions like middle ear infections, which children are very prone to, that can be managed and treated. The studies have shown that the level of speech and language, particularly language more than speech, in grade one is an indicator of a child's success in matric. So children need to learn to hear. Kids at school need to hear. Teenagers need to have their hearing tested because they are the ones that are most exposed to loud noise. And everybody, you just go into a shopping center, the noise can be deafening. Going into shops, so anybody who shops, people who are in the working environment need their hearing in order to be able to communicate in the workplace. And definitely anybody over the age of 40 must know that they are at risk of hearing loss. Hearing loss is the third biggest chronic condition over the age of 65. So annual hearing checks are essential.
So definitely something to do. And on the show, we love talking about patient empowerment. So empower yourselves, go and get your hearing checked. That's a great
I love
message.
that. That's great.
And
Thank
something that I always, it started to scare me actually. At the beginning of last year, I got an Apple Watch and it has a sound level warning meter. And when you're in an area where you don't realize how loud it is because maybe you tune it out. If you're able to tune out something in your mind, it doesn't mean it's not affecting you physiologically, and how often we're exposed to very, very loud noise. So it may be something that's advisable. And if you can, leave. If you're going to a concert, get ear muffs or take ear guards to protect your ears.
On that note, about you can get an app on the phone. You've got an Apple Watch, you can do that on your phone, but not everybody has that. You can get an app on the phone, which is a sound level meter. And noise over 85 decibels is very dangerous. There is a table, a noise level table, to tell you how long you can be exposed to different levels of noise. So if you're in an environment of 85 decibels, move away, as you say.
Right. Because your health depends on it. It's something to look at. So I was going to say it's not a justification for stopping to talk and spend Shabbos with your mother-in-law.
Why not? What's wrong with
Exactly.
mothers-in-law?
Nothing wrong with mothers-in-law. That's what I'm just saying. It's not an excuse, guys. All right. We have a comment from a listener. Hi, this is Mavis saying hi to Charlene. I'm looking
Hello,
forward to
Mavis.
what. Hello, Mavis. What you have to say? My question is there a way that the noise in my ears and head can be diminished as it interferes very much with my understanding of speech, especially consonants?
Yes, it sounds like there is an issue of high frequency hearing loss here. The noise in your head, the subjective noise in your head, can be managed by a few techniques, one of which is, I don't know if it's called a technique, but a hearing aid is definitely something that can help you improve your listening. A hearing aid will increase the sound level of speech, and that focus on speech might give you some relief from the tinnitus. If you're suffering from tinnitus constantly, that's one of the first things. And the other thing is the free radicals. It is a management of tinnitus, not a cure.
Right. So
Does that answer your question, Mavis, in Israel?
let us know if that has answered the question. I have a sense that you may have chatted with Mavis before.
He's a dear friend.
Oh, lovely. So tinnitus can be an indicator of a potential health problem or challenge, which you said maybe we not enough exercise, not a balanced nutrition, not getting in the right supplementation. So it is something definitely not to ignore, because when you speak about potential free radical damage, the hairs in the ears are very sensitive and delicate, and it's usually the sensitive, delicate parts of our body that tend to suffer first. How would you, and probably a difficult question, how would you speak to teenagers in terms of the risk that they're facing with loud music? Everyone has in-ear headphones now or over-ear headphones playing music loud. I remember growing up, I think the more speakers you could get in your car, the better for loud music. What is would you say to a teenager or someone who enjoys loud music and loud environments?
Turn left, turn the volume down. Very important. If you are in a situation where you cannot hear another person speaking from across the table, that means the noise is too loud. I would also, I don't know if it's that practical, but knowing me, I would find somebody with severe tinnitus and get them to explain the absolute frustration it can bring. I was with somebody yesterday, was doing a Dealink screening, hearing screening, and someone came who wasn't part of Dealink, but the absolute frustration that he was feeling from the tinnitus, when you can actually feel that person's frustration. I know when you're young, when you're a teenager, you don't think you're ever going to get old, but it does happen.
And it happens very quickly because last week, Thursday, I was 22. And it does come on rather quickly. We have a comment from Carol K. Went to a concert at the theater at Monte Cassino, and it was ruined by the music being so loud. I think, May, it's also important to stand away from speakers to be in a, if you do have to be in a concert, try and position yourself where you'll have the lowest volume.
I'm not sure how one finds that. I went to a concert the other night, and I tried to find a place in this magnificent theater. There was no way. We went upstairs, downstairs, right, left, away from the speakers. So, and unfortunately, I was in a rush to get there, and I didn't take my own noise plugs, which I have made. Custom-made earplugs are really, really good. You can get very comfortable ones. But I took tissues and put them into my ears, and I know that the reduction in sound level was significant. It did bring it down to below danger level, but it wasn't pleasant for me. Does
Right.
that answer that question?
Absolutely. And we have a comment again from Mavis. Thank you for answering my question. I had not heard about the free radical connection before. So definitely an indicator of what to look at within your own body. Let's touch on the customized earplugs in terms of maximizing noise reduction or external noises. How are they made? How do people get
Okay,
them?
so
And what's the difference between off-the-shelf ones?
the custom-made noise protection is made by an audiologist. So a patient typically comes to an audiologist who will do a hearing screening to see if there is any hearing loss, which could be an indicator of possible tinnitus. We said that although tinnitus is increasing what's the word? In occurrence, it not necessarily only associated with that with hearing loss. So the audiologist will do a screening test as a baseline, then take an impression of the ear. So special putty for a layman's term is inserted into the ear, and an impression is taken of the ear, and then that impression is sent to a lab. And depending on what the hearing configuration looks like, certain modifications will be made. Certain amount of hearing can be certain frequencies can be stopped or allowed in, and they will give you a good amount of protection against dangerous noise. The ones on the shelf, Dis-Chem better tell us about those, because as an audiologist, I prefer custom-made hearing aids, noise plugs, because they give us a scientific amount of noise reduction from the hearing aid, from the hearing noise protection manufacturers.
Right. So, and they can be custom designed for different intensities. So maybe you
Yes.
could have
So,
a
for
concert,
example,
public space, or a factory.
yes, and like for example, a musician needs to hear certain frequencies more than another person. Noise in factories needs to be much more intense than what was the other situation you mentioned?
And we sort of just you spoke about shopping, public spaces, those type of environments.
As long as one is not exposed for more than an hour to very loud noise,
Okay.
very loud noise exposure, even an hour, can cause permanent deafness.
Right. If
And it's
one,
progressive.
and it's progressive, right? We think where we see taxis driving past us, thumping loud music, and sort of the occupants don't really have an option of what to do. If you don't have access to have custom earplugs made, does using tissues work as an example, or cotton wool?
Issues I would definitely not recommend. I would definitely not recommend. I just did it because I had no other option. I was stuck there in the theatre, having forgotten to bring my noise plugs. But off the shelf, noise plugs are better than nothing. I'm not sure. They're different manufacturers, so we'd have to look at each manufacturer to know what they offer.
Right. So I know sort of most of my off-the-shelf ones are from when I fly. They're in your DOP kit that the airline gives you, and the little squashy foam ones that you roll up top into your ear, and then sort of they expand. But I think the sense that I get from our conversation is that our hearing is not something that we have permanently if we're exposed to loud environments, and it's something that we really need to focus on protecting, because it's something that we can lose sooner than the natural progression of hearing loss.
Very well said, yeah.
But I just want to also touch on, and not to scare people, but in your experience, people with severe tinnitus, that it's really overwhelming. How has that affected their lives? What has the impact been?
I don't know if I should even mention this, but some people have committed suicide over their tinnitus that hasn't been managed. But it is
That's really sad.
manageable. It is manageable, and it probably needs a team approach. If there's an incredible amount of stress and anxiety and sleep deprivation, and the workplace is untenable, and people just can't bear because it doesn't leave them, then a team approach is necessary. An ENT needs to be involved, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, an audiologist to help manage everything.
I'd like to touch on that a little bit more. We're just going to go to an ad break, and then hopefully we can hear some happy stories or examples as well with the team approach and dealing with tinnitus. You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. I'm chatting with Charlene Brett, healthcare practitioner specializing in speech therapy and audiology. We're chatting tinnitus. Let us have your questions on our WhatsApp number, 061-895-1019.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's Monday, and that means it's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. We've been having a fantastic conversation with the wonderful Charlene Brett, healthcare practitioner and specializing in speech therapy and audiology. We're chatting all things tinnitus, and we're also protecting mother-in-laws, because using earplugs is not an excuse. So we chatted about the seriousness and some of the very dire and sad consequences that some people have suffered from tinnitus in terms of affecting quality of life. If there is serious tinnitus, you mentioned a group approach just before we went to ad break. Can we touch on that a little bit more and talk about how that process works?
Okay, so I think very often the first port of call is either the audiologist or the psychologist or the ENT. So first of all, we need to establish the hearing pattern, the type of tinnitus, when it's worse, the medical, is there a medical condition? So there the doctors are involved. What drugs, not drugs necessarily, hard drugs, but what medication the person is involved is taking. Sometimes things are recommended and the doctor may not know of the effect on hearing, the ototoxic effect. My husband the other day went to a doctor and he for leg cramps, and he suggested something which contains quinine. Now, quinine is a known ototoxic drug. So one's got to be careful, one's got to be one's own doctor as well. So we need to manage the medical condition. Hearing aids, as I said, sound therapy. There's something called tinnitus retraining therapy, which combines sound therapy with counseling. Very often, the person just needs to be reassured that tinnitus is not a death sentence, God forbid. It is not, in most cases, it is not an indication of a serious medical condition, although, as I've mentioned before, it can be associated with serious medical conditions. There's also cognitive behavioral therapy, which manages emotional reactions to tinnitus, and that the psychologist would come in. There's also it also could be associated with TMJ problems, and there a physiotherapist could be involved that can be very effective.
So just touch on what is TMJ?
TMJ is temporomandibular joint problems. So physios know how to, some physios deal, specialize
Right.
in, know how to treat it.
Okay.
If there is Eustachian tube blockage, some physios also deal with that. That can also be managed with medication that is not ototoxic. There are also sleep issues that can be attended to. So we've got a psychologist, psychologist, physio, audiologist, ENT. Then there also need to be lifestyle changes that can be brought to the fore. We know that exercise is absolutely wonderful. Sometimes, very occasionally, exercise will increase the tinnitus temporarily, but that is because of the increased blood flow. But that usually settles. There's also a transcranial magnetic stimulation, which is a procedure used to stimulate the brain cells, often used for tinnitus, very severe tinnitus or depression, and that must be administered only by a registered medical professional or trained technicians under supervision. There's also something called neuromonics tinnitus treatment. That's something that I learned about very recently. It is a complete program with sound therapy and also includes relaxation techniques and a wearable device with pleasant sounds. So tinnitus management can involve all these things and also dietary modification. There's not such a lot of research indicating what supplements can be used for tinnitus. And I see Professor Shoup's on the line. Maybe he can enlighten us on that aspect. So general health, reduction of noise exposure, sound therapy, hearing aids, and dietary considerations.
Right.
We've got
Okay.
all those
Fantastic.
specialties
All of
involved.
those. One thing I just wanted to chat to you before you go. You mentioned ear wax blockage and so on. How very important is getting our ears cleaned regularly? Should we be getting them cleaned regularly? What is your thoughts on that?
I think one should have an annual check, a general annual health check. Most often, I've encountered people who know that they've got wax buildup very frequently, and those people need to be seen, I would say, twice a year.
Right.
Otherwise, an annual checkup, when you have a general checkup, if a person does have enormous wax buildup, Professor Attie Mulder, he is famous amongst the ENT community, recommends Yellow Johnson's baby shampoo with inserted into the ears with a dropper, but to only put the tip of the dropper filled with Yellow Johnson's baby shampoo into the ear. You can rub the ear, you can shower, you can bath, you can swim, and if one does that twice a day, 4 days in a row, once a month, that will manage the wax buildup. But if there is wax, that should be removed. And at the advice of the ENT or the audiologist who's removing, how often it should be done. But I know I said that most people that I've encountered, most people are aware of whether they have an earwax problem. I've seen people who have been totally unaware that there's wax in their ears, and there's deep impacted wax. So it should be part of a general medical checkup. We seem to be frozen.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Some great advice. Thank you so much, Charlene. Yeah, I think we've lost you. We're back. Charlene Brett, healthcare practitioner, specializing in speech therapy, as a speech therapist and audiologist. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to go to an ad break. And when we're back, we'll be chatting quickly to Professor Barry Shoup.